What's up, everybody? I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com and host of the Sports Card Strategy Show. You are about to listen to the Baseball Card Strategy Show with my main man, the catalytic lefty, Kendall McKee. He is about to drop some knowledge about five rookies that deserve your attention, and he's going to talk through the Sports Card Investment Report at NoOffseason.com and note the guys that are not household names, and he's going to break them down for you. So you should learn a lot from this episode of the Baseball Card Strategy Show. Everybody, here's Kendall.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to the Baseball Card Strategy Show here on NoOffseason.com. It was one of the network of podcasts that we do here at NoOffseason.com. My name is Kendall McKee. You might recognize me from the flagship show that we do on Mondays. Or you might not recognize me from the Soccer Card Strategy Show, but this in fact is the Baseball Card Strategy Show and really is a passion for me, considering my first love is baseball. And so you're getting my best in terms of what is coming forward in this episode. We're going to talk about five different rookies deserving of your attention and potentially your card buys in this season. So at this point in the season, I'm recording this on June 9th, and so we are about 37 to 40%, depending on the team, of the way through the season. So at this point, you will know whether it's time to poop or get off the pot, per se, in your team's development. Now, these guys all actually... most of these guys that I'm going to talk about today are on fringe playoff teams at best. Typically, what I've found is that rookies that are coming on the scene that are on playoff teams are deserving of high prices, and we've talked about them a lot. For instance, we have Julio Rodriguez, we have Jeremy Pena, and you can think about those kind of guys when you're thinking about rookie of the year type guys. And I want to dig a little bit deeper in this episode. So we're going to talk about five guys that you might not have heard of unless you're a big baseball fan or unless you're really really committed to one of these teams that these guys are on. And I'm going to give my case to why I think you should spend your hard-earned money on potentially a couple of these guys. I'm not saying that you guys should go out and buy all five of these, because not all five of them are great investments, but I want to put the, let me put it that way. I'm going to put the information in front of you and let you make the best decision yourself. There's opportunity almost in any card, depending on the situation, to make a flip or a turn, depending on you can convince yourself that there's going to be opportunity for any card out there at some level. And when I think about that, I think about when people give that argument to me, I'm like, okay, there was a time when the Sean Watson cards were absolutely worthless. And then there was yet people still buying them at the time. Now, I know that that's controversial and everything, and that's not really where I wanted to go. What I wanted to talk about there is there's opportunity at every level to make some sort of play, potentially, depending on how strategic you want to get and how much of a gut feeling you have on certain cards. So I'm going to give you this information about these five players, and I want you to make your best judgment call. And maybe it's not even these five guys. Maybe you like an emerging rookie a little bit better than these five guys. That's completely okay. On one of these guys, I have absolute conviction that he's going to be a stud. But I've watched a significant amount of game footage on this guy, and significant amount of articles and things written, because he's on one of my favorite teams. News, there's a little spoiler for you. But there's these five guys that I'm going to give to you, and we're going to start out with Brendan Donovan. So Brendan Donovan was an outfielder in the St. Louis Cardinals minor league system and has been there as he was drafted by the Cardinals in the seventh round, pick 19, overall pick number 213 by the St. Louis Cardinals in the 2018 amateur draft. So he's been in there for quite a while. He's 25 years old, so he's a little bit of a late bloomer per se when it comes to making his big league debut. And he was at the top levels of the minor leagues very quickly, actually. So he gets drafted in 2018, and in 2019, he's already logging at bats at the Triple A level. Although he did only log one game and two plate appearances at the Triple A level in 2019, he was worthy of going from A ball all the way up to Triple A ball at the 2019 level. Obviously, no 2020, so I'm sure that the Cardinals were unsure what he was going to be like when he came back. Immediately in 2021, he gets thrown into high A, in 25 games, gets promoted to double A. After 50 games there, he goes to triple A in 2021. So he goes through pretty much all big levels of the minor league system, which is what would have traditionally have been a regular big league route. Previously to maybe like 2011 or so, everybody kind of went, you know, single A, double A, triple A. Now we see guys moving from single or double A all the way up to the bigs. Usually from double A to the bigs is the key push up because of the way that the secondary pitches are being used in double A. But Brendan Donovan moved all the way through the minor leagues from low A all the way to triple A. And then in 2022, he started in triple A with 25 games there. And now has been placed on the MLB roster. Since being on the MLB roster with the Cardinals, he has been a big role player for the Cardinals, and there's really been a guy that they've been trying to just find at bats for. He's logged a 304 average with a 145 WRC plus, which is 45% better than the average player, with a slugging or with an OBP 418 and a slugging of 422. The guy is hitting really well at the major league level and striking out at an average. Well, for him, an average clip. He's always been under 20% at almost every level other than low A when he first got to the minor leagues. But his strikeouts are traditionally low, and his ISO is actually not that high. It's at 118, but his average is pretty high. So the guy is just getting solid contact with the ball in terms of spraying it around the field and running and being a part of just getting on base. Now, this guy, his autographs are in a 2022 Bowman set. So it's unique that he actually had his first card in this 2022 Bowman set, and we see him come up in that actual same year. Now, I could see that actually happening with potentially guys like Dustin Harris or another guy named Jack Sawinski, which I'm going to talk about a little later. But it's funny to me that a guy waits this long to get a card from Topps and then immediately gets thrown into the major league system and is playing 45% better than the average major leaguer. He came up through the St. Louis ranks as an outfielder, and he has played outfield for the Cardinals, but he's also logged 10 games at third base, 8 games at second base, 7 games at first base, 7 games at shortstop, and then 11 games in right field, 1 in left field, and 3 at DH. So this shows me that the Cardinals want his bat in the lineup. They're willing to put him anywhere defensively that he matches up in the lineup for him to get at bats. And that's what I like to see from a guy that is a really maybe a flyer investment at this point, because he's a guy that didn't get a whole lot of draft or media attention up till now. He's getting his first card potentially, or he did get his first card in 2022. It actually was a base paper auto. So it was a paper auto. It wasn't even necessarily worthy of a chrome auto, according to Topps, but he is getting that attention, and he's showing that he deserves major league at bats. So I like Brendan Donovan. I like what he's doing. I actually picked him up in fantasy too. So sometimes this show does cross over into some fantasy application. He has multiple position eligibility, and that's only going to grow. And I eventually, some down the road a little bit, I'm sure that they will level out when the pitchers get to seeing him a little bit. But I would be encouraged to see that next step from Brendan Donovan. We see Cardinals always having depth in the minor league system. For instance, they got rid of Randy Arozarena, and they got rid of Adolis Garcia, and both of those guys were in the minor leagues with the Cardinals together, and then they still had guys coming through their system like Harrison Bader and O'Neill, and so they've got plethora of development. I like what the St. Louis Cardinals do with their development, and so I'm not afraid of Brendan Donovan. I I do think he will end up being a good major leaguer for years to come. Now, he doesn't necessarily have star power, in my opinion, but when you can pick up his Bowman paper auto at around $40 right now, I would say that's not a horrible purchase. But I'm going to give you all that information to show you potentially if you think Brendan Donovan is worth having a card portfolio value. I do long-term, that's for you to see. I see it as your short-term flip. Probably by the time that the All-Star break gets around, you might be able to get some hype off of that. And so going from a seventh round pick all the way to a major league and having 45% better average than everybody else on the field, that's pretty impressive. So Brendan Donovan was my first pick. I teased him a little bit earlier, but my second here is Jack Sawinski. So Jack actually also came out in the 2022 Bowman set, but Jack did get a chrome auto. Interestingly enough, his chrome auto is about half the value of Brendan Donovan. And I think that is because we've seen Jack come into a different type of situation. Now, Jack hasn't exactly had the same sort of productivity at the major league level that Donovan has. And that is typically because what I've seen from Jack is that he has more power and less hit tool ability. And so what we see from him is he's rocking a 235 average, which is significantly different than Donovan, but he does have seven home runs where Donovan only has one. So it's a kind of a different type of player. And with the Pirates going towards a new development, when you're going to see a young core come up, I could see a guy like Jack being very important to this Pirates team going forward. And because he's getting to the major league team earlier than all the rest of the O'Neills, you've got Nick Gonzalez, you've got Indy Rodriguez. When we talk about our Pirates system, we love how all those guys are developing really well. And there were going to be eventually some of these guys that come up a little bit sooner than everybody else. And it reminds me of how Springer came up in the Astros system before everyone else. Now, is he going to be Springer? No, I don't believe so. But I do think at a $15 to $20 auto, his auto does go a little bit more than that down the road. I think Sawinski is going to continue to get better. And when you look at him throughout his minor league, days, he was rocking a 353 average this year in Double A, which is why he got pushed up. And he's rocking a 235 average at the major league level, which I would say is a little bit under where he's going to be comfortably. I think he averages out to maybe like a 250 hitter. But that power is something that's going to be really, really key for him. He already does have seven home runs and he's hit some big spot runs here with Pittsburgh. And I think with Pittsburgh turning a new leaf into a new franchise, into new players, I could see Jack Sawinski being a fan favorite. And so he was drafted in the 15th round. So he was drafted by the Padres originally and doesn't make it over to the Pittsburgh Pirates until 2021. So we see him coming over from the Padres, and he's really been able to hit that major league ground running. Reminds me of kind of a soft come up when we've talked about guys reaching the major leagues and not necessarily having the absolute star power behind them. But I like Jack Sawinski. I like what he's doing. I wish he struck out a little less, but he does sell out for power a little bit more than a guy like Donovan. But he does have he has seven times more home runs as well than Donovan. So Jack Sawinski is half the price, but does have more power behind him, but probably doesn't have the longevity in terms of the, with these two players, if I had to choose where to put my money right now, I'd probably pick Jack Sawinski because of the power attribute. Because typically when you look at different players that are profiled really well in the card market, there's a lot of power related to that as well as speed. So he does have seven home runs and two stolen bases already. We've seen Fangraphs says that his speed is a 30 out of 30. Apparently it is there. His raw power is 55 out of 55. I love to see that. And when we look at guys like him, it's easy for him to get regular at-bats in this Pirates lineup because he's going to get the ability to kind of see what he's made of. when he's going to have that opportunity, because the Pirates fairly just stink. And with a guy like Jack Skowinski, he's going to have plenty of run and plenty of play time at the Pittsburgh Pirates. So if I look at him in terms of he's not on a particular top 100 list, and I think that's deserving. But I also know that Donovan as well is not on the top 100. So these guys are a little bit lower than the average player, but they're coming up quietly and potentially logging big major league at bats. And I like that. So Donovan and Jack Skowinski, the first two. The next three definitely are going to be a lot more high profile. And with that, we're going to start with Christopher Morel. So this guy has just come up and just torn up the major league system so far. His autos were in the 2021 Bowman Chrome, so less than a year since his cards have hit the shelves, per se. And, man, he is doing some awesome things out in Chicago. I love what I'm seeing from him. He's a guy that you're watching play, and you're like, wow, that guy is just very, very good. Three home runs, six stolen bases, 21% K percentage, so it's under that 30K percent. We have a 150 WRC+, 50% better than the average bear. And we've got a 298 average, so peaking on that 300 average. He's played, again, he's played from rookie ball all the way up to AAA, got promoted straight from AA this season, but we've seen Christopher Morel be very, very good at baseball. So he is logging, he's also logging positional eligibility everywhere else. Played second base and outfield in the minor leagues, but for the Cubs, he's played 12 games in center field, eight games in second, three at third base and two at short. So he's that center fielder, second base combo that has become all too popular, especially when you think of a guy like Ian Happ coming up through the Chicago Cubs system and seeing what he has done at the major league level. And he started as a second baseman. So I wonder if the Cubs are just thinking on that actual previous success that they've had at developing a player and sticking him in the outfield because of his speed. His profile is a 60 out of 60. And his hit tool is a 30 out of 35 compared to the Fantrax reports. So he was a team ranked 16th, but I like this guy. As I've watched him play, he's electric. You can see his passion really just bursting out of his skin as he's playing. And I think we've seen him hit big at bats as well. He's even got a walk ratio of 11.3% this early in his career, which shows some plate discipline and some eye for the ball. And I really like that as well. His 2021 Bowman Chromes, though, are at a different clip than the past two. These guys are already going for $85 to $100 raw. And I do not have any of these personally, but I do have a lot of his firsts. So I have first Mojos and first Sapphires, and I've been able to kind of part with those. They are a very liquid and asset here. The only reason I'm selling is because that's so much a margin from where I got them at a dollar or two. And so, but if you could still buy them now, I think there's still room to run for Christopher Morel. I'm especially saying that because they've had some guys in their minor league system, for instance, like Brennan Davis, that's gotten hurt recently, and there's probably going to be a slowdown of his major league debut, and we were going to see him this year. I think Morel maybe is the guy for the Cubs that's really going to shine this year. This team is going to go through a lot of transitions in the next year or two, and we're going to see him be able to get at-bats. For instance, we're going to see William Contreras get moved at the deadline, most likely. We see Suzuki come into this team, but he's hurt, and so he is fighting his way back as well. So this team is really trying to find its new identity post World Series, post Chris Bryant, post Rizzo, post Baez, post all of those guys on this team. I mean, really the only real guy you have left on that team is Contreras. And I know there are other players on the team that are coming from that World Series team, but Contreras is a guy that you look at and you're like, okay, that guy is one of the last the last of the Mohicans per se, when it comes to that major league or that World Series roster. And when we're turning the page here, I think a guy like Christopher Morel is really going to get as much run as he can get and is going to have at bats. And those are what all of these five players are going to most likely get. What I'm telling you is this guy is going to get at bats. And I think interestingly enough, I want to point out that all five of these guys are in the top 25 in the Sports Card Investor Report when you click on baseball specifically. So all five of these guys are rookies and they are in the top 25 designation. So when we look at Christopher Morel, though, Christopher Morel is the not only the number one in terms of baseball cards that are being sold right now, he's also the number one spot in terms of the last 30 days in terms of baseball cards in general. So Brandon Donovan actually and Jack Suwinski also are in the top three, which I think is interestingly enough, like a reason where I had to just at least talk about it. So you have Christopher Morel, Jack Suwinski, Brandon Donovan, Julio Rodriguez in the top four. We've talked about Julio Rodriguez an extension, but I get that as an opportunity to talk about these three guys outside of maybe guys that you have regularly heard of. Christopher Morel definitely has tools to be a big leaguer, and he has that kind of like extra oomph or moxie that you like to talk about when you're talking about guys that are going to be impactful at a particular team in a particular environment. And that's what I really like about Morel. I really like how he is able to be catalytic, if you will. There you go, Paul. And I'm going to stop this as an opportunity to say, go check out our guys at sportscardinvestor.com with what they do and helping us out at nooffseason.com. They are helping us kind of get more attention on our platform and using good tools. So if you're wanting to use the Sports Card Investor Report, we've talked about it previously in other episodes about how you can be most effective when you're using it, but definitely go check out their stuff and go check out Market Movers app. You can actually use the code nooffseason to get $1 for the first month in the Market Movers app and go check it out for yourself. There's a lot of resources out there, but that's one of my favorites in terms of tracking card numbers and portfolios. They've done a lot about getting a lot more cards into that system over the last year or so. And so if you've checked it out before, maybe try it again, because I think that this has now coming to a place where it is a competitor and things that needs to be reckoned with on the Market Movers app. With that being said, we've covered our top three, and they, in fact, are actually the top three. They go 3-2-1. I went 1-2-3, but on the Sports Card Investor Report, they are 3-2-1. And I just needed to refer to them because I think it's a big enough deal that these cards are getting enough attention right now that you're going to want to know what you're getting into. Donovan and Jack Suwinski potentially are not everyday players, I think, or in terms of like stars potentially. I think Christopher Morel out of those three guys has the most potential to be a long-term everyday player. And obviously, out of the top five in baseball, I think Julio Rodriguez has the most to be a star, but we've covered him in other episodes. So I'm going to jump to my number four, who actually on the Sports Card Investor Report is number 17 on the Sports Card Investor Report, but a guy that I think needs some attention right now. Joe Adell from the Los Angeles Angels has had a strange mix of storylines. So this is a guy who is extremely athletic, got his first card in 2017 Bowman first. So that's quite a long time ago. We saw him drafted overall as number 10 pick in the 2017 draft. He was drafted to Los Angeles Angels. So they've been really developing him since then. He's 23 years old. His speed is off the charts. He's a great outfielder. But we have seen him really do well in the minor leagues and really like get promotion to promotion. For instance, if you look at his minor league routes since 2017, we see rookie ball, and then he goes up to A ball, then he goes up to high A, then he goes to double A. At the end of 2018, he finishes at double A, which is pretty good after your second season. You know, he's 19 years old, significantly under the age gap there at the double A, and he does go 238 with a 115 WRC plus. He's striking out a bit, but you expect that from a 19-year-old that's going to be at the first time as a secondary pitch is in double A. 2019 season comes out. We see him placed in high A, which is a little bit down from where he was to end the last season, but that is a common take. And at 20 years old at high A, that's still acceptable. At the end of 2019, he goes from high A to double A to triple A at the end of 2019. And we see him kind of getting overmatched at the triple A level. We see him as a 67 WRC plus, which means he's 40% less or he's 40% under average, but he is under his age at that triple A level. In 2020, we see him break. Obviously, there's no minor league systems, but in 2020, we see him break onto the major league scene. He logs 38 games in that 2020 season, which is about half of that season, considering it was a little bit over half, is a 60 game season. He didn't really fare very well, but the Angels really didn't have a whole lot to do because it was he batted 161 and a 27 WRC plus. So a really, really bad first major league showing over 38 games and 132 plate appearances. So he had definitely a run to be able to see what he was made of at the major league level in that 2020 season. And I know that's the 2020 COVID year, is everything was kind of a write-off. But I think that first showing really scared Joe Adell investors. I saw a lot of sales in that moment of people dumping Joe Adell, and I was kind of waiting to see what was going to come of him. 2021 starts. He starts at AAA and does well at AAA. He gets that under 30 K percentage. You see him have 23 home runs on the season in 2021. He eventually gets called up to the major league level and does a lot better than his first showing at the major league level. He ends up being 10% under average, but is a lot better than his 41K percentage. The first time he goes down to a 22%, you see him getting power to the ball. He's got 140 more plate appearances. So this guy technically does not have rookie class designation because he's already lost it. So I think I said that earlier in the episode. I wanted to correct myself. But then by the time that is over, the 2021 season ends, Joe Adell, 2022, what do you do with him? Mike Trout's coming back. Shohei's out, doesn't need to be playing in right field all the time. You've got Marsh, and you've got quite a lot of players out there that still need at bats. And Joe Adell primarily doesn't break camp with the major league roster. He goes back to AAA, and you see him just do okay. You know, he's just okay. But in that major league call up, he does get called back up to the major league roster, does get optioned back down initially after Trout comes back from his injury. But now that Trout is now questionable again, we're seeing him back in the major leagues. So this is why I want to bring this up to a situation. Sometimes guys take a little bit longer to develop and a little bit more seasoning before they really become major league stars, or at least everyday players. And I think that's what we're going to see with Joe Adell. You see him trying to figure it out. You see him making some changes. Obviously, he's got the speed. Obviously, he's okay defensively. But we've seen this guy really struggle at the plate when it comes to just average. When we're talking about him striking out a ton, he's selling out for things, but he doesn't necessarily have strong power at the major league level. Yes, he did have 23 home runs at AAA and 73 at bats, which is outstanding. And which, I mean, his ISO was at 302 in that AAA season in 2021, but his ISOs, any like non and MLB pitching, have all been under 200. So he is logging a 167 ISO, which isn't terrible. He does have three home runs in 23 games, which is also not terrible, but we're seeing him kind of focus on some other things here. And I think he has the ability to rise up in experience, and potentially about that 25 to 26 year old season, I think we will know that Joe Adell is a regular everyday player. I could see him being some sort of guy that's quick and fast, but not necessarily super dominant at the plate. And I think we will see him be an everyday player, but probably not a superstar, which is what everybody thought when he was drafted 10th overall. Yes, there's still possibility, but in terms of which cards are out there, there's two options that I think you have here. You have a 2017 Bowman Chrome Auto that is about $300 because it is super hard to find. I mean, even when you look at past solds on eBay or look at options, there is secondary signings, which means they're like people have taken his Bowman first card to him and have him sign it, but it's not a raw signing. And so I would say that Joe Adell's Bowman card auto, if you're like a super fan, you really believe he's going to be dominant. He's definitely going to get at bats, but this team is going through a transition. They just got a new manager. They have lost 13 in a row. They are bad, bad. Mike Trout also pulled his groin yesterday. So, Joe Adell might just also get back into that center field spot. And I wonder if potentially he's in his head trying to compete with Trout and getting psyching himself out, because when we see him at the AAA level, he's dominating. But then when we see him at the major league level up with Trout and Marsh and Shohei and Walsh and all these guys that are pure hitters at the major league level, we're seeing him not dominate. So I wonder if it's all up here with Joe Adell, and he does have the talent to be good. So what I would say is, if you're going to invest in Joe Adell, I would say go for his rookie card auto. So in 2021, he had a rookie card auto that is about $100 to $120, which is way more on par for what I was expecting when looking up his cards. So if you want his Bowman Chrome first auto and you think he's going to turn it around this year or in the next couple of years, then I would say go for it, but it seems inflated at $300. But the rookie card Topps auto definitely is still going to hold some significant value when it is his rookie auto, but it is between $100 and $120, much more manageable, about half the price, or a little more than half the price of the $300 rare Bowman 17 auto. So you could almost get a rookie card PSA 10 for just a little bit more than what you could get for a Bowman 2017 auto, which is just more rare. With that being said, we've covered our top three, and they, in fact, are actually the top three. They go 3-2-1. I went 1-2-3, but on the Sports Card Investor Report, they are 3-2-1. And I just needed to refer to them because I think it's a big enough deal that these cards are getting enough attention right now that you're going to want to know what you're getting into. Donovan and Jack Sawinski potentially are not everyday players, I think, or in terms of like stars potentially. I think Christopher Morel, out of those three guys, has the most potential to be a long-term everyday player. And obviously, out of the top five in baseball, I think Julio Rodriguez has the most to be a star, but we've covered him in other episodes. So I'm going to jump to my number four, who actually on the Sports Card Investor Report is number 17 on the Sports Card Investor Report, but a guy that I think needs some attention right now. Joe Adell from the Los Angeles Angels has had a strange mix of storylines. So this is a guy who is extremely athletic, got his first card in 2017 Bowman first. So that's quite a long time ago. We saw him drafted overall as the number 10 pick in the 2017 draft. He was drafted to Los Angeles Angels. So they've been really developing him since then. He's 23 years old. His speed is off the charts. He's a great outfielder. But we have seen him really do well in the minor leagues and really like get promotion to promotion. For instance, if you look at his minor league routes since 2017, we see rookie ball, and then he goes up to A ball, then he goes up to high A, then he goes to double A. At the end of 2018, he finishes at double A, which is pretty good after your second season. You know, he's 19 years old, significantly under the age gap there at the double A, and he does go 238 with a 115 WRC plus. He's striking out a bit, but you expect that from a 19-year-old that's going to be at the first time as a secondary pitch is in double A. 2019 season comes out. We see him placed in high A, which is a little bit down from where he was to end the last season, but that is a common take. And at 20 years old at high A, that's still acceptable. At the end of 2019, he goes from high A to double A to triple A at the end of 2019. And we see him kind of getting overmatched at the triple A level. We see him as a 67 WRC plus, which means he's 40% he's 40% under average. But he is under his age at that AAA level. In 2020, we see him break. Obviously, there's no minor league systems, but in 2020, we see him break onto the major league scene. He logs 21, excuse me, He logged 38 games in that 2020 season, which is about half of that season, considering it was a little bit over half, 60 game season. He didn't really fare very well, but the Angels really didn't have a whole lot to do because it was he batted 161 and a 27 WRC plus. So a really, really bad first major league showing over 38 games and 132 plate appearances. So he had definitely a run to be able to see what he was made of at the major league level in that 2020 season. And I know that's the 2020 COVID year, is everything was kind of a write-off. But I think that first showing really scared Joe Adell investors. I saw a lot of sales in that moment of people dumping Joe Adell, and I was kind of waiting to see what was going to come of him. 2021 starts. He starts at AAA and does well at AAA. He gets that under 30 K percentage. You see him have 23 home runs on the season in 2021. He eventually gets called up to the major league level and does a lot better than his first showing at the major league level. He ends up being 10% under average, but it's a lot better than his 41 K percentage. The first time he goes down to a 22%, you see him getting power to the ball. He's got 140 more plate appearances. So this guy technically does not have rookie class designation because he's already lost it. So I think I said that earlier in the episode. I wanted to correct myself, but then by the time that is over, the 2021 season ends, Joe Adell, 2022, what do you do with him? Mike Trout's coming back. Shohei's out, doesn't need to be playing in right field all the time. You've got Marsh, and you've got quite a lot of players out there that still need at bats. And Joe Adell primarily doesn't break camp with the major league roster. He goes back to AAA, and you see him just do okay. You know, he's just okay. But in that major league call up, he does get called back up to the major league roster, does get optioned back down initially after Trout comes back from his injury. But now that Trout is now questionable again, we're seeing him back in the major leagues. So this is why I want to bring this up to a situation. Sometimes guys take a little bit longer to develop and a little bit more seasoning before they really become major league stars, or at least everyday players. And I think that's what we're going to see with Joe Adell. You see him trying to figure it out. You see him making some changes. Obviously he's got the speed. Obviously he's okay defensively. But we've seen this guy really struggle at the plate when it comes to just average. When we're talking about him striking out a ton, he's selling out for things, but he doesn't necessarily have strong power at the major league level. Yes, he did have 23 home runs at AAA and 73 at bats, which is outstanding. His ISO was at 302 in that AAA season in 2021, but his ISOs and MLB pitching have all been under 200. So he is logging a 167 ISO, which isn't terrible. He does have three home runs in 23 games, which is also not terrible. But we're seeing him kind of focus on some other things here. And I think he has the ability to rise up in experience and potentially about that 25 to 26-year-old season, I think we will know that Joe Adell is a regular, everyday player. I could see him being some sort of guy that's quick and fast, but not necessarily super dominant at the plate. And I think we will see him be an everyday player, but probably not a superstar, which is what everybody thought when he was drafted 10th overall. Yes, there's still a possibility, but in terms of which cards are out there, there's two options that I think you have here. You have a 2017 Bowman Chrome Auto that is about $300 because it is super hard to find. Even when you look at past solds on eBay or look at options, there is secondary signings, which means they're like people have taken his Bowman first card to him and have him sign it, but it's not a raw signing. And so I would say that Joe Adell's Bowman card auto, if you're like a super fan, you really believe he's going to be dominant. He's definitely going to get at bats, but this team is going through a transition. They just got a new manager. They have lost 13 in a row. They are bad, bad. Mike Trout also pulled his groin yesterday. So, Joe Adell might just also get back into that center field spot. And I wonder if potentially he's in his head trying to compete with Trout and getting – and getting psyching himself out. Because when we see him at the AAA level, he's dominating. But then when we see him at the major league level, up with Trout and Marsh and Shohei and Walsh and all these guys that are pure hitters at the major league level, we're seeing him not dominate. So I wonder if it's all up here with Joe Adell, and he does have the talent to be good. So what I would say is, if you're going to invest in Joe Adell, I would say go for his rookie card auto. So in 2021, he had a rookie card auto that is about $100 to $120, which is way more on par for what I was expecting when looking up his cards. So if you want his Bowman Chrome first auto and you think he's going to turn it around this year or in the next couple of years, then I would say go for it, but it seems inflated at $300. But the rookie card Topps auto definitely is still going to hold some significant value when it is his rookie auto, but it is between $100 and $120, much more manageable, about half the price, or a little more than half the price of the $300 rare Bowman 17 auto. So you could almost get a rookie card PSA 10 for just a little bit more than what you could get for a Bowman 2017 auto, which is just more rare for Joe Adell. So let's go ahead and jump on to my last guy, who I'm actually the most fan of in these five, is Ezekiel Duran. Yes, he's a part of my Texas Rangers, but this guy has made some big, big, big swing changes. We've saw, for instance, R.M. Layton just released an article about his swing changes at justbaseball.com, and I want to officially endorse that and saying, please go read that article and then make an assessment yourself. I've seen Ezekiel Duran on the major league field because I watch every Texas Rangers game. But what I'm most excited about is when his swing change is a little less action and way more power at the plate, his ISOs are off the chart. He's playing very well. This is a guy that's going to make this Joey Gallo trade with the Rangers and the Yankees look really, really good for the Rangers. I think the Rangers definitely got three bona fide major leaguers in that deal with Josh Smith, Glenn Otto, and Ezekiel Duran. And they potentially may have a fourth with Hauber or Hoover, depending on how you say it, in that fourth guy, which he's the best player at his double A position or at his double A team. He's one of the best guys on that team. So Joey Gallo having 9 RBIs at this point in 2022. And then everybody else on this Texas Rangers roster that we've gotten in the trade has been electric. Josh Smith came up and did great. I told you guys to buy him previously. I'm now saying Ezekiel Duran. He does have Yankees rookie cards, and I actually purchased one for myself today. I went and got another one. So Ezekiel Duran, very obtainable still. I bought mine for $60. Most of his autos are trading anywhere between 50 and 80. I think that is an extremely good price for what he is going to be for the Rangers going forward. And if you compare this trade with the Teixeira trade that happened, with Teixeira went to the Braves and they got back Elvis. They got Elvis, Saltalamacchia, Neftali Feliz, and Matt Harrison back from the Braves in that trade. Now, I think this is that kind of trade for the Rangers. And as the Rangers get better over the next couple of years, I could see Ezekiel Duran really having a great spot in this lineup. And he's going to be a big player for the Rangers. And I could see his card values continuing to rise. He has a cool looking card. It's very face forward. His shoulders are straight forward. He's actually fielding the ball, but he's looking straight at you. It's a beautiful looking card out of that 2020 Bowman set, which that 2020 Yankees set is off the charts. So if you are looking at breaking any product, 2020 Bowman Yankees spot would be a very big one. They've got Jason Dominguez cards are in there, which that was primarily the big chase originally, but you also have Volpe and Duran coming out of that product as well, all in the same year. So these guys are all going to be guys that are high profile cards. So if you have also gone through and done 2020 breaks previously, you might end up having some Ezekiel Durans in there from in some of your bulk Yankees. So definitely go check that out. You might have him in your box and you don't even know it because you didn't know of him several years ago. He's definitely showing off this year. And actually this past week, he was fourth. He was fourth in isolated power in the AL West. So definitely is a guy who's going to be very, very good for a long time. And I could see Texas really starting to put him in the lineup wherever. So he's already got a 129 WRC plus. He has under 30K percentage, which is good, but his ISOs are 158 on the season, but he struggled out the gate, and you're seeing him come around really, really well. He's played third base and second base for the Rangers. I could see him ending up being a hybrid there. They're going to have to figure out what it looks like to potentially have Josh Young, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and Ezekiel Duran all on the field at the same time. They kind of have stop gaps for these middle infielders that are coming up. I could see Josh Smith ending up in left field, but I see Duran staying in the infield. Maybe they move Marcus Semien into a DH role, but then they've got to figure out what they do with Garver. There's just a lot of questions to go on with. There's a lot of guys that are about that AA to AAA level with the Rangers, and Ezekiel Duran, I think, is one of the best that are coming out of that system. So those are my five guys. We've got Donovan, Sawinski, Morel, Adele, and Duran. I would say out of all five of those guys, Duran is my favorite investment, and not only because he's a Texas Ranger, but I think he has the most star power on that list. And yes, I'm including Joe Adele in that and Christopher Morel. So to say Duran has more star power than those two guys is saying quite a bit. So thank you. This has been the Sports Card Strategy Network. We are putting together plenty of assets. So please go check out our website at nooffseason.com. There is a paid report there where you can get all the plays to all of our sports card investment reports. We've got guys from all different sports, and there's kind of a countdown there. And we want to be able to give you the best best investment report from a person who is looking at all of the sports combined. So definitely go check that out on nooffseason.com, a sports card investment report. This has been the Baseball Card Strategy Show. I'm Kendall McKee, and I'll see you next time.
Yes, yes, yes. Kendall McKee does another amazing job on the Baseball Card Strategy Show. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. We really appreciate your support. And if you would like to get more from us, more interaction from us, we would love it if you join our Facebook group by going to sportscardstrategy.com. Click on the quick link to join the Facebook group. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already, and we will connect with you. We'd love to help you out. And of course, if you want a little bit more bonus content from us, go to nooffseason.com and subscribe to the Sports Card Investment Report that Kendall mentioned on this show. Save 20% by using the promo code nooffseason, all lowercase, at checkout. Everybody have a great day. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Thanks again.